Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week?
Good, Jimmy. How's the Penn State fan base doing these days?
We're recovering, Andy. Recovering. It was a tough loss to take. I mean, I've been a Penn State fan for a very long time. You know that. So I know the history. And there are some very difficult games through the years that Penn State fans had to deal with. And this ranks right up there as one of the toughest, because when you get this close, and I think it's fascinating, and I'd like to get your take on this. I've had multiple people, at least three, maybe four people say, hey, this coming this close and then having so many players return, it reminds them of 1985, the year prior to 86 winning the national championship. I will add to this, and maybe it's just because of my age, I remember it. 1981, the year prior to winning the national championship in 82, I remember thinking at the end of that season, two things. One, at the end of the year, I thought Penn State was as good or better than anybody else in the country. And two, they were going to have much of that talent coming back for a run in 82. And sure enough, there was a national championship. So, Andy, with this, so many of these players coming back, which is most of the news this week, might this be, you know, history all over again?
Too soon to tell, Jimmy. And I say that, I'm not saying that to say, well, I need to see them play and I want to know. There's one sticking point for me. Jimmy, they absolutely positively stink at the wide receiver position. They have to, that position is so far below board. And you saw what happened. Andy Kotelnicki called a great game. You see what the end result was. It didn't cost them because they didn't even try and use the wide receivers in the college football semifinal because they couldn't use the wide receivers. You can't be that bereft of talent and production at a position like the wide receiver and expect yourself to be considered a serious contender for the national championship. I just think they have some serious transfer portal work to do on that position. That position has to make a big change this offseason. Does this help big picture? Oh my gosh. Yeah, Penn State fans should be excited as all get out because they with what they have coming back, are they a Big Ten contender? Are they a player in the Big Ten? Absolutely. When you've got quarterbacks, running backs, offensive linemen, linebackers coming back with what you already have that was already going to stay with eligibility restrictions, yeah, they certainly have a lot more cooking today than you would have imagined a week or so after they got eliminated if all of these guys would have been, you know, going to the NFL. Because there was an elite sort of high-end experience last talent drop-off coming for Penn State without all of this, you know, without them getting all these players returning. There is something special going on. There is, Jimmy. That's the group had something special cooking. That's clearly obvious. That's part of what matters. But when I look at it, I'm like, yeah. And it's not even about the guys who didn't come back. You know, Abdul Carter, hello, stud. Tyler Warren, hello, stud. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about they're missing an element that they just need to be okay or average. And it's nowhere even close to that, Jimmy. That is the big hurdle to overcome the offseason, but they are already a contender because of what has happened and transpired in the last 7 to 10 days.
Well, Andy, there's several things to unpack with all of this, and that we're going to get to it because I do want to go through the various positions and the players that are returning and there's got to be emphasis at wide receiver. But first, as far as something special potentially happening, this is the aftermath of NIL, where prior to NIL, if you're a player, you have two choices: make zero money as a college player, or potentially make money as an NFL player. Now, you mentioned Abdul Carter. That was an easy call for him. He's going to be at the top end of the first round. He's going to make his money. We all know that. But a lot of these players that are going to be later round draft picks, the argument used to be, gee, shouldn't he stay another year and he could potentially turn himself into a first or second round pick as opposed to a fourth or fifth round pick? Today, the discussion is very different, isn't it?
So you use the word potential, and that's the important word. First of all, I think this is an unintended consequence of a little bit of an unintended consequence, an unknown of NIL, the opportunity for the roster retention, right? Ohio State did it last year simply with dollars and cents. They just threw so much money. And look, they're going to be playing for a national championship. They're extremely talented. They're the best team on paper. They're the best team. They're playing like the best team right now. Their depth is showing up. They were the best team that the money could buy. That is what the roster that they bought and the process they went through. I think Penn State's is a little more twofold, but an unintended consequence is the opportunity to earn an income. That was only a choice for one path. That was to make yourself eligible to be an NFL draft, to be part of the NFL draft or sign as an undrafted free agent. There's two paths now. And the path that where you stay in college also creates opportunity for more kids to get their degrees. It helps the student side of that student athlete that you thought the NIL and the transfer portal were going to ruin. These kids are, it's a good list here for Penn State. We're just talking about Penn State. That's a heck of a list, Jimmy. How many of those kids, if they would have left for the NIL, would have been just a little short? Maybe they already have their degrees, whatever. This just creates more opportunity on the education side for them as well. So I didn't expect it. I didn't see this part of it coming when NIL came to fruition, because you were trying to figure out. And in these Wild West years that we've been, you know, living through, it's been an interesting journey. But I'm like, hey, this is a good thing. I think this is really good.
Andy, I agree. And you used the expression unintended consequence. And I think that's accurate. However, I think unintended consequence usually has a negative connotation.
Correct.
It's usually a bad thing that you weren't aware was coming with change. This one, as you said, it's a positive in many ways because it gives the player more options, yep, obviously. And, you know, it all of a sudden, instead of poor college kid not making any money, risking injury for the hope, fingers crossed, that you'll be a higher draft pick the following year, it's all of a sudden, as you said, yes, you're getting more education, but you're also getting paid, and you're getting paid a decent amount of money. Now, we learned, you know, Bo Prabula making his transfer to Missouri, that was, you know, reported that he would be making $1.5 million by making that transfer to Missouri. So there's a decent amount of money out there. And I think what also needs to be pointed out is James Franklin in Penn State has made the conscious decision with NIL that they want to reward guys for sticking around more than they want to reach out to bring other guys in from outside programs. The other part to this, you mentioned Ohio State this past year. They used essentially this model of, well, on steroids, okay?
Right. They bringing guys back,
bringing in guys from outside. They spent more than anybody else, and it's paying dividends. But it was 2 years ago, and I'm not sure how much was NIL, but Michigan brought back a lot of guys to run it back again. After making the Final Four and not winning, they came back and did win a national championship. So it feels like there's a model there that's very effective. And I would not be surprised if we see more teams do this. Now, one of the questions, Andy, that people ask is, in making this financial decision, what are you picking this amount of money versus that? What is the difference? Well, if you're a first round pick, you're going to make lots of money. As you start to go down the rounds, third round through whatever round left, you're going to make about $1 million as an NFL draft pick. So that's a lot of money, but now NIL is starting to challenge that. And if it's a case now where even if you're in the ballpark, Andy, you don't necessarily have to make more money, but if you make almost as much or close enough, you're getting that money plus the opportunity to improve your draft status, plus the extra education, plus the ability to run it back with your buddies in college and have some fun with it.
Let's just say that if you're getting 60%, real quick, if you're getting 60, maybe 65% of what you could have earned, and you can stay in college for another year and run it back with your buddies and maybe finish your degree or get a secondary, you know, higher education degree, whatever that situation is. The bottom line is the NFL is professional and it's a different animal. College is still fun, right? Being a college football player is still fun. Hey, I could stay here for another year. All right. Say in a regular world, I can make $60,000 or $70,000 and have fun, or I can make $100K and not have any fun. Not that you're not going to have fun, but and go into a different environment. What are you choosing? Of course, you're going to take the 60 or 70K and say, I'm going to hang with my buddies and do this for another year because that's enough for me right now. And I think that's part of it. I think it is like, hey, this is some of the most fun years of your life playing ball.
And you're probably conservative with those dollars and cents, Andy. So you could be making six figures, have room and board handled for you, still be in college. Not a bad deal, Andy, not a bad deal. I think you and I would take that opportunity if we could. All right, that's it for quarter number one. When we get back, we're going to actually look at some of the specific names and what it means that they're coming back to Penn State. Stay tuned. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, Enjoy Cafe Tea pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andrew P. Shea. It's quarter number two of our show. And Andy, we use quarter number one as kind of a setup for what we want to discuss the rest of the show, which is the players who are making decisions. Come back, declare for the NFL draft, hit the transfer portal. Let's start, I guess this is considered the very top, Drew Aller. Before the season ended, when we were going through the whole Bo Prabula discussion, Drew Aller came out and said he was coming back. I know once we hit the playoffs, he kind of backed off that a little bit. I think if this was a team that would have won a national championship and he led them there and looked impressive, hey, he could have been a first round pick, a high pick, and it would have made sense for him to leave. That all did not come to fruition. Drew Aller came back. I have no doubt in my mind, Andy, they are better off at the quarterback position with him coming back. And I think that helps inspire other players to come back.
Yeah, you get 30 starts, right? There's some work he needs to do. He knows that. He knows his shortcomings. He's got some image work to do as a big game quarterback in terms of what he projects to the next level. Let's just call the spade what it is. His productivity in big games isn't close to where it needs to be. He's got some little quarterback things to work on. You know, please, dear baby Jesus, let him give some help at the wide receiver position in some way, shape, or form. Thank you. Amen. He gets the most, he drags the most out of weapons. I think that's underrated for him. Plus, he's developed into a little bit more. He found his voice as a leader. So sometimes he still gets a little too intense and whines a little strongly, but that's okay. That's passion. So there's a lot of good there. And at the end of the day, he's a guy with a lot of talent and arm talent and upside who has 30 games of experience and hit the next level with the offensive coordinator that he has right now. That's your number one win. You're correct, Jimmy.
And you know what, Andy, he does have to fix that big game image that he has. It's now becoming a trend. I think the other thing you mentioned, the emotion, it's fun. A year ago, his first year starting, when things upset him, it looked like he was pouting.
He melted this year, a little bit too, upset yeah. him.
It looked like passion. It much fired better. Him up.
Yeah,
he still has some things to improve on. I think he knows that. The good thing is his history is he does get better. He has improved on things. Hopefully we'll see that. If Drew Aller returning was exhibit A, number one thing, 1A would be the running backs. They had not just one, but two of them, both of them coming back. Nick Singleton, Catron Allen. We've talked for years about running back being the one that you don't want to put too many miles on the tread in college. Those two, they do not because they share the load. Andy, this was huge having those two guys come back, especially when we saw over these last 3-4 games when they're both healthy, what they're able to accomplish.
Jimmy, they are a pair of 1,000-yard rushers who share the running back position. That's all you need to say. They will be probably recognized as the best and most experienced and most talented running back combination in college football. Next, it's so simple. They're elite. They've already proven themselves. And I think, you know, they both are like, I want to give this another shot. And I'm kind of surprised, to be honest, because I think both of them could be NFL potential next year. There's nothing really missing from either one of their games. They're both outstanding blockers, which is big for college players in the NFL. But these two, they're two 1,000-yard running backs coming back, 1,000-yard running backs coming back. End of story.
And a couple additional notes on the draft. This is a good year for running backs. Big year for running backs. So that pushes you down a bit. NFL running backs are not as highly valued as they used to be.
Correct.
So I would venture to guess that they, or and especially Nick Singleton, can be making as much or more money in college as they might in the NFL. So, and I would not be surprised to see the two of them doing some kind of endorsements together. And because this is a national story now, those two running backs deciding to return. All right, Andy, let's hit the big one. Wide receiver. This is one where we've seen two receivers are coming in from the portal. Kyren Hudson from USC and Devontae Ross from Troy. Now, I don't know how much scouting you've done of them, but what we have among the receivers, we had early, like last week, a couple of the young guys who hadn't hit the field, Johnson, Flowers, leaving. The big news this week is Trey Wallace, guy who has a lot of physical ability, and Omari Evans, the guy with the speed. I guess they were the two top wide receivers in the for this past season, they both have decided to hit the portal, Andy.
Probably smartly. When it comes to the wide receivers, this is all I can. I'm not going to try and analyze this. It's too crazy, right? The way I look at it is they brought guys in to play. That's why they were brought in, and they were automatically going to go ahead of anybody on the Penn State roster. They have to, Jimmy. That's what the lack of production at the wide receiver position is so prophetic that they're just, you were played it. If you're Trey Wallace, you were playing in a quote unquote starting role. Not a bad season, not good, but not terrible, but not good. And now you're going to have to fight for wide receiver three at best. You're leaving, right? You're going to take an opportunity somewhere else. Penn State, the definition of insanity was to do it the same. Penn State has to do it differently at that position. So all the guys that left should have left because, or at least should have explored their options, and they did. Because Penn State has to do it differently. That's it. Penn State has to do it differently at that position, is my opinion. And that's all I can see.
I appreciate, Andy, the thought that they need a change there. It's like one of those when you see different teams get rid of a manager or a coach, when it's like, you know what, things just aren't working. We need a fresh start. What I think also is part of this, Andy, is we alluded to this a little bit that in quarter number one, Penn State is looking more at retention than bringing in guys right from outside overall. I think that's what that means is a lot of these players, it's not just the player's decision. I think it's also the team's decision. I'm not saying that Penn State said, hey, Amari Evans, Trey Wallace, we don't want you anymore.
Correct.
But no, I think you probably also didn't see, you know, hey, Trey Wallace, don't leave us. We'll come up with more money. We'll do what it takes to keep you here. I don't think Penn State was looking to do what it took to keep those guys around, which tells me something. Now, me as an outsider looking in, I always thought Trey Wallace was very talented, underutilized, and there could be a lot of different reasons for that. But talent-wise, I thought it would be good for him to return. But, you know, apparently I think this says the staff didn't think the same way. They thought probably more like you. We need a fresh start here.
We have to do it differently. We can't. I think they're going to go as much experience and transfer as they, that's the place they're going to spend outside money, let's call it, is at the wide receiver position, and then go young behind them. Do it completely different. And I don't think they kicked any of these guys. I don't think they kicked them out the door, but I think they opened the door and gave them a hug on the way out and said, thank you. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. They held the door for them. They didn't kick them out the door, but they held the door for them. That's
and gave them a hug on the way out.
But I also think, Andy, you know, you could, and I should have put them up side by side, like the difference in stats between Trey Wallace and Hudson coming in from USC. Now, Hudson had 38 receptions for 462 yards. I don't know. I don't have the bandwidth to look up Trey Wallace's numbers right away, but I suspect they would come out at least as well. I see you looking like you're going to look it up for me. You got it, Andy?
Do you want to know? 46 catches, 720 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Okay. So if you're comparing apples to apples, his numbers actually were better than Hudson's numbers at USC. That doesn't make him the better receiver, but I think it also, you know, puts things in perspective a little bit. They're both playing in the same conference, playing against the same kind of competition. So I don't think Trey Wallace lacks the talent to play at this level. I also think what it means is they can't be done at wide receiver in the portal, Andy, that they've got to do some more. All right. While we're staying on the offensive side of the ball, let's hit the rest of it, which is the offensive line, Andy, where we have Nick Dawkins. He's been the center He's coming back. He hasn't made that announcement. JB Nelson, who's this piece that you just stick in where you kind of the utility guy, he has announced he's coming back. Anthony Donka has loads of eligibility left. I assume he's coming back. A couple of the question marks, you know, Drew Shelton, Vega Ioane, and Nolan Rucci are guys who haven't made their announcements. Candidly, I think all three of those would be best served if they did come back. Andy, your thoughts on the offensive line with the half minute I gave you?
Nick Dawkins is a stud. He could have gone to the NFL easily. He made a conscious decision that he wanted to play another year of college football. He didn't need to, Jimmy. He really didn't. He was one of the fewest guys I saw. I was like, that guy doesn't need to play any more college football. All you get in JB Nelson is a guy that's played 31 football games at Penn State in a variety of roles. That's worth NIL money on top of NIL money because you stack up that kind of experience. I think you'll see one or two of the other guys as well kind of make a final decision and matriculate over it. That offensive line was a beast. As many elements as you get, and we know Sal Wormley's going to be gone. It's a beast.
All right. That is it for quarter number two. When we come back, we got your questions. We'll ask Andy. Stay tuned.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, Enjoy Cafe Tea pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. And yes, Andy, I know we've missed for a couple weeks, but it is time. It's quarter three. It's time for our listener questions. It's time to ask Andy. It's been a while. Andy, did you miss the listener questions?
It was a couple weeks in a row, and I'll tell you, with all, you know, the semifinal and the win over Boise State and everything, it was like, you know, the timing and the new year, and I'm like, I'm ready for more. There's probably some meat on the bone, so I'm curious what I get, so I'm kind of excited.
All right, let's hit it. And just one quick note to our listeners. Yes, Ask Andy is back. Hit the Ask Andy button. Send us your questions, just like John in Kingston did. John says, in many years going forward, the Big Ten could have like six teams with a shot to be in the top 10. Will Notre Dame have a hard time scheduling marquee Big Ten and Southeast Conference teams since they already have to play as many quality teams?
Oh, man, the Notre Dame quandary question right out of the gap, right? So here's my overall thoughts on Notre Dame. Scheduling is not tricky for them right now, but it could become tricky as this evolves, right? Remember, this was year one of the new look conferences and the two power conferences. So we're just getting started, Jimmy. Secondly, this is just my thinking. I think eventually they're forced to join a conference, not by some outside entity like the NCAA or pressure or whatever. I think it becomes a natural cause. The opportunity to play inside one of the two power conferences and not have that schedule, or to play in a conference championship game, because I think one of the things I took away from the college football playoffs this year was that you make it to your conference championship game, that particularly in the Big Ten and the SEC, that's relevant enough to keep you as a major player on the college football playoff big stage. So I think not having that opportunity, I just have a feeling that might eventually hurt them in some way, shape, or form enough to impact them. But I don't have a problem with it. And I don't know how it changes for them. If they win the national championship and beat Ohio State, it makes it harder.
Well, I'll tell you what, Andy, right now, from Notre Dame's position, financially, this is a boon to them making the playoffs. They get, as an independent, they keep all of the money for going to the playoffs. If they start missing the playoffs and not getting anything, not getting a conference share, this goes all the way back to Joe Paterno's conversation when joining the Big Ten, was it kind of steadied the budget. You knew you were going to get so much money every year as opposed to being an independent when it goes up and down. The other point that he makes, though, about scheduling, if you're in the Big Ten, yeah, you have so many good teams now, just like in the Southeast Conference. Do you really want to schedule a big game against Notre Dame out of conference? I don't think so.
You don't need it. Yeah,
so it's not the question a need becomes, anymore. Could, does Notre Dame need it, or will playing those ACC games, might the ACC, Andy, start making sure that Clemson, Florida State, Miami keep getting on Notre Dame's schedule to help both sides? ACC teams need strength of schedule. Notre Dame needs it. Might they try to do that? That will be interesting to see. All right, let's go to Jerry in Pottstown. He says, Andy, I know you're not a Penn State fan, so that loss didn't hit you like it would the rest of us. And then in parentheses he has, and Jim. What was your most devastating loss as a fan?
As a fan of anything, he's asking of anything? Yeah. Oh, that's easy. I'm a big hockey guy. I'm a hockey fan. This goes all the way back to the 80s, Jimmy. The Flyers losing Game 7 to the Edmonton Oilers in the Stanley Cup Final. And that year, Ron Hextall won the Conn Smythe Trophy as the playoff MVP, and he was the losing goalie. Man, that Edmonton Oilers team was so good, and we played so well. And that one was like, oh, that one crushed me more than anything as a sports fan. Anything.
Andy, speaking for the Penn State fans, and I'm sure there's many a Flyer fan out in our audience, our listeners, who remember that loss also. We could empathize with you. We understand. We just want to know, in that cold, dark heart of yours, there's actually some emotion and passion, and you could be brokenhearted just like the rest of us. All right.
I will tell you this, Jimmy. Can I say this to Jerry and Pottstown? I was pissed that Penn State lost that game. I was, because and I'm not a Notre Dame hater or anything. I was just like, they were the better team. Like,
Meaning Penn State was the better
team.
Yeah,
they're equipped to play. They had so many Pistons firing on all cylinders. They played the football game they needed to play. And I was like, the team that won, I didn't think was the right. I just think Penn State was the better football team that day as well. They didn't win the game, but they were the better football team across the board. And it pissed me off.
They were the better team, but they didn't show it that day. All right, let's go to Kevin in State College. He says, the wide receiver room still seems like a disaster.
Amen.
Will they make a coaching change? Should they? Yeah. How much of the blame should go to the position coach?
Yeah, I thought long and hard about this. And when it's they've had so much turnover already. Go back 5 years, right, Jimmy? It's been 4 or 5 years that this position has been problematic, right? Let's go back. So there has been change in turnover in that. Maybe you just have to, this is the one where you have to, you know, you have to eat the, you know, the crappy sandwich. You know what I mean? Like, he's not doing a good job because there's not development. That we can see. But is there more going on that we don't know about? It just feels right to do it differently from the position perspective and stick with the coach one more. Give him I feel that this is the right move in keeping him for one more year. I don't think he's going to get fired. I just think a little more rope and see what happens then. Because I feel firing the coach right now would be a hair trigger. And I don't think Penn State needs a hair trigger. I think do it differently. They definitely need to do it differently, completely differently. But I think it would be a hair trigger. And I'm just like, the easy answer is, yeah, fire the coach. I think it go down the road less traveled if you've got something special cooking and see how that goes. And it can't get any worse.
I think you make a good point. Remember, it was just a couple of years ago, the coach had the offensive line. A lot of people thought, gee, where's this star offensive line coach? We're not seeing it. It took a couple of years. Might that be a case? Obviously, this is James Franklin's decision. We'll see how that turns out.
Good question, by the way, Jimmy. Good question today.
Let's go to Sam in Annapolis, who says, what do you think James Franklin is looking for in a defensive coordinator? Do you think it's head coaching experience? Do you think it's continuity with the current team? A personality fit with the rest of the coaching staff? What's he looking for, Andy?
So, good question. I think James is looking for something that impacts him as sort of an offensive guy, a quarterback, you know, play quarterback, offensive coordinator. He's looking for a defensive coordinator that sort of turns his head sideways, makes it go, huh, a little bit like, that kind of strikes me. He's looking for something like that. He's looking for somebody who has a unique and aggressive posture and procedure on how he wants to coordinate a defense. That is clear. The Manny Diaz lit James's, okay, go play with your hair on fire football and be aggressive and not aggressive in a flat out aggressive way, but an aggressive approach and procedure type way. I think he's learned that, you know what, we can get the players and athletes to play defense like this. He needs somebody that can coordinate that defense like that. So that would be my highest priority in what I think James will be looking for. It doesn't have to be a head coach or somebody with a ton of experience. It just has to move him in the right direction. He's a bit of a field guy. He's not a inside the box guy when it comes to his assistant coaching hires. He goes a lot on field. Does this feel right to me? And that served him pretty well.
And he's the last two defensive coordinators were head coaches that he picked up. It seemed to be effective. What I'm wondering too, though, is he wants some continuity. He's got so many of the players coming back. Might this be the time where Poindexter gets the job? He stays internal. All right, let's go to Mark in Berwyn, who says, with so many players returning from a Final Four team, does this put more pressure on Franklin? Andy, I'm going to give a second question. We're going to do the twofer. Jason from Binghamton says, I really have my doubts about Drew Aller. He seems to have a poor game in every big game. What's your confidence level in him? I give you these two together because I think Franklin and Drew Aller are really attached at the hip here. They both have that can they win a big game legacy now.
So I don't look at it that way. I think taking Penn State where they took them, where Penn State ended up this year, joined the five-star recruit quarterback, the big-time quarterback that James always wanted, and James it joined them at the hip. So they're tied together. I don't know. I don't think it puts more pressure on James. I really don't. I mean, the biggest pressure game to me was the college football playoff semifinal, and I would argue that it's one of the finer managed, coordinated, and coaching jobs I think a Penn State football staff has done across the board, A to Z. It was definitely up there. They were outstanding. Game management, the whole nine yards. So, you know, it was a good experience next level to see James and his staff coach like that because – all right, pick that up. Let's go.
All right, Andy, that's going to be the final word for Q3 and Ask Andy. We've got more to go. Stick with us for quarter four.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. And Andy, we've been talking about the players that are returning, not returning, declaring for the draft, going to the portal. But first, you were talking about our last two questions and Ask Andy were about James Franklin and Drew Aller. Is there going to be more pressure on them come next year? I think winning the games they got to win isn't going to tell anybody anything. I will point out they've got a date with Oregon very early next season. Going to be a lot of attention on that game, Andy. All right. When we were talking in quarter two, we were talking about players who made their decision either to come back or move on. We hit the offensive side of the ball. Let's go to the defensive side. First of all, Andy, Abdul Carter, he went. We all knew that was happening. It's the right decision. He's going to be a top pick. And Andy, I think he probably made himself some more fans and possibly some more money with his performance in that semifinal game with the bad shoulder, his performance, and the fact that he was willing to play.
Ridiculous. Compromised as he was, should not have played. I'm certain of that. Injury-wise, shouldn't have played. Whatever pharmaceutical assistance that got that shoulder in a position and treatment of leading up to it in a position to play, it hurt. That kid was hurting. You could see it. It hurt him to play, and it didn't matter. Ridiculous. I think he could be one of the first three guys taken, Jimmy, and I could make a serious case that as slippery as he is and just different, right? Like, he is just different, and this was his first year that he could be the first player chosen. I know the quarterbacks. I get it. I know the NFL. I understand the drafting process. But I'm saying, as a football-wise, yeah, that could be your number one. Lots more to go, but yeah, ridiculous.
Okay, let's get to some of these other folks. Let's stick with the guys who declared for the draft. KJ Winston missed the entire season, Andy, and declared for the draft.
Yeah, NFL caliber talent was already on full display. The injury lost him the year. It didn't hurt his draft stock, Jimmy. And coming back doesn't help it, Jimmy. He was just that good. Jimmy, he was so elite. Didn't hurt him one bit. Makes perfect sense to me.
Well, what you also have there, Andy, is I hope that he's in a position where he could go to the combine and perform well.
Be healthy.
Show that he is healthy. Because if he's not ready yet there, NFL
it gets sticky. Teams,
they're going to, yeah, yes. Next up, declaring for the draft, linebacker Kobe King. Andy?
I thought long and hard about this, Jimmy, right? On the ball linebacker, got better, right? Like, and I still a step short, maybe a little bit east-west, but maybe half a step now. And I think he's got that half step in him. I thought long and hard about this. And on the ball linebacker, I don't think another year of college makes a difference for him. He could have come back if he wanted to join his mates, but his decision was to go. I don't think it was a bad one, Jimmy. I think he's as close or as good as he'll ever be.
That might be the case, Andy, and I thought about this one quite a bit also. As a fan, I wanted him back, because I thought his linebacker skill set was fairly unique on this team. They don't have another Kobe King ready to roll. From his standpoint, yeah, I'm wondering if he is what he is. My only question, Andy, is in running it back one more year, would he be playing on a team that gets lots of attention and that might help his draft status? And the other part to it is, where's he going to be drafted and how much will he make? And remember, his brother made the decision to go early. Probably wasn't the best decision. The other one, Jalen Kimber, he made the decision also to declare for the draft, Andy.
He came to Penn State with a lot of SEC tread on his wheels, and he was good, not great per se. You know, he didn't like jump out at you, but he was solid, right? Like he was a good corner. I just think his is a matter of I've played enough college football and this is my skill set. And with the injuries at cornerback position today, I think you need the teams look at going four deep at the corner position in the NFL today, possibly up to five deep. So I think he's at least a player. I don't know if he's draftable, but he's a strong undrafted free agent candidate. And I think he's got enough savvy and moxie and enough sort of good football skills to he could be an undrafted free agent that I could see making a 53-man roster. He's close, that close. And I just he's not like elite Jimmy, but he's just there's heart. There's not many weaknesses. He doesn't jump out at you, but when you pay attention to him, he's doing really good stuff.
Well, I think though, Andy, you know, undrafted free agent, I'd wonder what's the cash to stick around for another year before taking that risk. All right, yeah. Let's look at the defensive line. The big one, Andy, the huge one. Deny Dennis Sutton says he's coming back. And also defensive tackle Zane Durant says he's coming back. Huge, huge for Penn State. How about for the players? Right decision?
I thought Dennis Sutton could have gone and would have. He's up against Abdul. I don't know. Is there a giant Walmart parking lot between them? I don't think so. I think they're different, but yeah, I think that's a big one for Penn State. I think the kid could have gone and been drafted. I thought Zane Durant showed himself as an NFL player this year. Like he came out of nowhere and you're like, that guy's going to the NFL, right? Like that was Zane Durant's 2024 season. And maybe Zane believes that I got more NFL caliber in me to show that I could be a next level draft pick. He just kept getting better and better and better, Jimmy. And there's more of that to come. So, you know, I don't know what their decision was based on, but Penn State wins huge on the defensive line with a beast mode end and a sort of lockdown three down tackle in the middle who can bring pressure up the middle and is also strong enough and good enough to throw, you know, combo blocks and solo blocks away and impact the run game. You can't pay money for that.
And you know what, Andy? I know people will say for the NFL draft, if you're a player, doesn't matter who you are, where you are, they'll find you. They'll find the talent. With that said, though, I think if you're at a premier school playing these big games, if you're an Ohio State player, an Alabama player, a Georgia player, you get more attention and more opportunity because of that. I'll use Drew Allard this year. Wasn't talked about a lot in the NFL draft. All of a sudden, they're a playoff team, and we're hearing all this NFL draft talk.
Right.
I think next year with this Penn State team, the expectations will be high. The preseason rankings will be high. I think for these players, Zane Durant, Deny Dennis Sutton, I think they could ride that wave, and it could really make a difference for them in where they get drafted. A couple more defensive players. Smith Vilbert is choosing to come back, Andy.
Big deal, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's
former project who's become a now current contributor. That's a big, that's a long walk home, because he was a project and he's now a solid contributor. Big deal for him. Good, helps Penn State immensely as well, because the role they put him in, he flourished in. They can expand his role now.
And a couple other players on defense that went to the portal. Cam Miller, I don't know if you saw this. It was announced he's going to Rutgers.
Rutgers, yeah. Yeah, why do I get the feeling this was another one that was shown the door and given a hug on the way out? Does that feel like that to you? Because yeah. I thought he wasn't – I don't think he was overtly problematic, but maybe he didn't rise where they needed him to rise. And they've had great luck in the portal with corners, haven't they? So
I think also, Andy, that slip against Notre Dame, that's, you know, probably left a bad taste in his mouth, that he might just want to move on, put that behind him. I think another one is who's coming back is Dom DeLuca at linebacker. I'm not sure what his draft status would have been, Andy, but again, I think his best opportunity is by coming back for another year.
Yeah, he's a good college. He has become and built himself into a good college off-the-ball linebacker that plays really smart. He's a leader. I'm not sure what his NFL stock would be. Like, I have a hard time seeing him transition at the NFL level. So maybe, obviously, he's going to take a shot, but maybe he's one of these guys that, you know, he's just a really, really, really good college football player. And why not? Right. You can make some money, and he helps Penn State in about 9 different ways.
Yeah. And his ability to play special teams might help him in the next level. Safety Zaki Wheatley is coming back. I think that's a big deal. And I'm going to throw in here also, King Mac the prodigal son is making his return from Alabama.
Yeah. Two of them. And Zaki Wheatley, dude, that guy, when they lost KJ Winston, we thought going in the preseason that the safety room was the best, if not one of the deepest and best in the country. And that it showed itself. Monster year. It had to play a different role, right, than he would have played, you know, and then he was in that lion position, just performed and performed in many different ways. And he's going to be Penn State's hammer. He's the hammer on the back end leading in for Penn State. As you look at this now, he's your starting point now. Never bad to be a safety at Penn State and be the starting point. They get good coaching. They get good development. He's in a great position, and he put himself there.
And Andy, I think real quick, often overlooked, all the kick specialists are coming back. The field goal kicker, the kickoff guy, the long snapper, the punter.
That matters.
That is not a bad thing, Andy. All right. That is it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.